Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Episode 4 of the Clear Mind Podcast. And today we're here with a big one. It's probably going to be the longest podcast of the Clear Mind era thus far. Only because I actually have a lot of things to say about this piece. Because if you guys have been following me on my socials, Clear Mind everywhere, you will find me, I promise. If you guys have been following my socials recently, you'll know that I've started my poetic collection on my website. So up to this point, everything on her site has been prose, like short stories, vignettes, that type of thing. This piece today, Hugs and Cradles, my first poem that I've posted on my website. Not my first poem that I've written by any stretch. I literally wrote this within the last like 3 days. And the way that this came to be was simply because me and my girlfriend were talking about fog, and that I have a list in my notes section called words that are words for real, as in words that do their job, as in you wouldn't replace that word with anything else. Like, fog is fog. Do you know what I mean? And so we were just talking about that, and then we were just talking about all of the other words in that list. Words like slice. A slice is a slice. Slicing is slicing. Do you know what I mean? Like, the word liminal is liminal. Things like that. So we were just talking about things and nature of words and things like that. And then I was just being a silly little bunny. And I just wrote a stanza that had the word fog in it. It's not really even about fog. It's just the first stanza that you see. It hugs and cradles, surrounds us like fog. And when we breathe it in, our heart beats slow. That's the first thing that I wrote. And from there, I was kind of like, this isn't about fog no more. I'm just going to see where it takes me. Didn't really have any sort of idea of where I wanted the piece to go. But it ended up sort of being this really visual and descriptive and quite bleak diatribe against capitalism. And you know, I'm not going to be the first to talk shit about capitalism. I definitely won't be the last, because fuck capitalism. All my homies hate capitalism. But there's just so many things and so many different parts of capitalism that I think this poem addresses, and I think it's really cool. I think it's really cool that, first of all, that I was able to create this without meaning to. Like, I didn't go out of my way to create something like this, which I think is normally the best way to go about things. Like, I think it's a lot harder to like go and create something when you have a very, very strict idea of what you want it to be, because then you're almost a prisoner to that vision. You're a prisoner to what you want your piece to be, rather than letting the piece have a life of itself. So I think going down the line, I mean, I'm not one to plan my pieces extensively. Normally I have an idea of a feeling really that I want to induce in my reader. Other than that, I kind of just write and just respond to the previous line, and just keep going until I feel like the feeling that I wanted to produce is produced. But just before we get into the actual poem itself, if you haven't read it already, it's on my website, Hugs and Cradles. The title itself, Hugs and Cradles, it gives you a very false sense of security. Even the cover art that I chose for this, because you guys know I like to talk about the cover arts, go and follow me on Pinterest to see all of the collections and all of the pictures that I use for my like covers for my pieces. But even the cover art that I used is very, very, very conceiving and very, very deceptive, because it's an embrace between people and me being a romantic writer. People who don't know me, but people who will have got to know me over the course of my website existing, will have come to know me rather as a romance writer. So they see this, they're like, okay, it's gonna be a sad, emotional, romantic piece. Or just a piece that just, you know, maybe people, lovers are leaving, maybe they're long distance and they're saying goodbye, who knows? But Hugs and Cradles, it definitely doesn't, that title does not make you think of capitalism. And I think that false sense of security just mirrors the duplicity of capitalism. And I'm gonna get into that in a bit. I did say this is going to be the longest episode of the new era. We're already 4 minutes in, I haven't really gotten into anything. So, yeah. But, like, so, the first thing that I wanted to say, with poetry, for me, poetry is something that I've definitely had a difficult relationship with, because as a writer, like, you'd be like, oh, of course you write poetry. I really don't like writing poetry. I do now. And that really is only because of uni and the continued exposure to writing poetry and having to write poetry. And then just this past Saturday, I performed at my first open mic at the Uni Slam, like, poetry jam. Yeah, at the Uni Slam poetry jam. And, you know, it was really fun. I'm not going to lie, really good to see. And I definitely got inspired, because I've probably produced more work in the days since than probably the month before, despite the fact that I'd actively been trying to produce a lot of work in the month before. And that speaks to inspiration and being around people who are smarter than you, better than you, people who push you. Because one thing about me, imposter syndrome gonna eat me up. So if I do feel like I'm in a position where like people are better than me, I'm gonna feel shit about myself, but not the type of shitness where it's like I am a useless bum, because obviously I know I'm not. But it just kind of sparks that fire in me again to be like, you're not done. You're not where you need to be at. You're not where you want to be at. You need to keep going. You need to produce. So that inspiration is definitely a big part of this piece. But yeah, I wanted to talk about with poetry, the fact that for me at least, and with my poetry, just as future reference, if you stay around, if you stick around, which I assumed you will, you're 6 minutes into this episode. I don't know why you wouldn't. Do you know what I mean? If you're still listening to my voice. But it's very important to me that when people read my poetry, more so than prose, because prose is literally you read the punctuation. Poetry, read the punctuation, don't read the lines. I think people like reading the lines and then they read it off pacing and they don't read it in the way that writers have intended it to be read. Because, you know, punctuation wouldn't be there if it wasn't needed. And where it isn't used, it's not needed. So don't put punctuation where it's not needed by taking pauses at the end of lines when there's no punctuation at the end of a line. So that's the first thing. I think the fact that a lot of my lines extend onto the next, even if there is a comma at the end, it's like a similar phrase. It's not the end of a sentence, right? It's not the end of an idea. A lot of long sentences in this poem, and that just talks on the flow and the speed of the whole process of capitalism, the way that it's so exhausting and the way that it wraps us up in it. But yeah, I'm just gonna go stanza by stanza and then talk on things I want to talk on. So I already read the first one, but I'll read it again. It hugs and cradles, surrounds us like fog, and when we breathe it in, our heart beats slow. Down and onto our knees we fall. Before magazines worth our lives, we crawl. Magazines that spark a tide, they pour the life out of bodies that surround us. Now, that's the first like two and a bit stanzas, the first sentence of the poem. And in this, I'm talking about the inevitability of war under capitalism and people fleeing for their lives, just weaponry, machinery. War is inevitable under capitalism because it pits people against each other. It encourages competition. That is what makes capitalism work, competition. And eventually you get to a point where people are powerful enough where their version of competition means playing around with people's lives and putting people in a position where they can lose everything. They can lose their loved ones, they can lose their homes. And you're seeing that now with everything that's going on around the world. And I think that's something that needs to be spoken about, hasn't been spoken about in relation to capitalism a lot. Like, wars that happen now are literally a direct, result of capitalism. There's always capitalistic reasons as to why wars happen and why certain sides side with certain sides in war, because really and truly it's economic benefit. The only reason why Europe was supporting Ukraine when Russia first invaded Ukraine was because it was in their interest to. It was in their interest to. And the reason why they seek to cease fire so quickly with Russia and Ukraine is because it was within their, you know, it was within their benefit to do that. It helped them for that war to end because it was hiking up oil prices. Do you know what I mean? But say, for example, the stuff going on in Sudan, the stuff going on in Congo, the stuff going on in Palestine, these things don't necessarily impact the pockets of these big countries in the same way. Therefore, they do not have the same interest in bringing an end to that war at the same level of urgency that they did with Russia and Ukraine. So that's just something that I think is important to bring up. The next part of the poem: like fog, billowing bullets surround us, and the smog's blackened air denies us the sight for flight, whilst demonic delight dances upon their faces, whilst we're all lined up in places that you couldn't even place in Satan's land of pain, in case he takes offence to the evil on display, in case he takes offence to the splutter and the spray of gas that rips and tears on skin. Breathe it in, let death begin. Guys. Specifically, all of that can be really summarized onto that ending bit. Breathe in, let death begin. We're all slaves to the system of capitalism from literally the second that we're born. Like, everything about our childhood, education that we receive while we're children, everything about our lives is in preparation for our eventual contributions to capitalism. We are useless to our countries if we do not contribute financially, economically. If we do not have money to spend in the economy, and if we do not have talent or work that can help boost the economy, we are useless to these countries, which is why people don't like people who don't contribute to their economies, which is why I think right now in the UK there's such a conversation around immigration, because, you know, there people have this warped perception that immigrants are all uneducated and whatever. Obviously some of them are, because they've come from places where they couldn't go and get an education because they were at war, for example. But, you know, like, it's, people don't like people who can't contribute. And, like, the people who we're contributing to, the pockets that we're contributing to, the people at the top, those are the people who have demonic delight dancing upon their faces. And when I say we're all lined up in places that you couldn't even place in Satan's land of pain, in case he takes offense to the evil on display, in case he takes offense to the spire and the spray, I say that capitalism is exhausting. Like, it puts you in places where you don't want to be, and it makes you do things that you don't want to do. And it's an act of evil that is so commonplace. It is so normal. Like, that's just the way that life works. So nobody really bats an eyelid at it. But if, say, for example, hypothetically, the devil was to come onto this earth and was to say, yeah, you have to work for me. You have to work for me in actually horrible conditions. You don't get to decide when you go home. And if you are at home, I'm still going to ring you up and tell you to, oh, you got to do this. You got to work overtime this day, whatever, whatnot. The exact same things that businesses do to employees, if the devil did to humanity, nobody would waste a second in saying that that is the devil being evil. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, everyone just kind of turns an eye to capitalism because it's just the way it is. And obviously there's reasons for that, which I get into later on in the piece, but it's just so debilitating. It is so debilitating because capitalism really makes you lose sight of what's important, and people abandon their dreams to achieve this capitalist American dream of, you know, if you work hard enough, you'll get to the top of the mountain eventually. It's all based on hope. It's all based on eventuality. But even, you know, even the people that do reach those dreams of achieving the American dream, you know, those people are never fully satisfied, which is why so many celebrities and people who have quote unquote succeeded have mental disorders and struggle with their mental health and just everything like that, because it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Like, it's just, it's honestly just, yeah, it's awful. Anyway, next bit of the poem. Hearts beat, then pulse, then fizzle out. Life's line once pointed, now it does without. The jagged edges of life's vitality, for the spread of a malicious malady has started a cultural calamity. This really just speaks to the eventual degradation and, you know, depletion of energy and inspiration within everybody. Like, capitalism robs cultures of identity, and it robs communities of connection. And most importantly for me, it robs humanity of joy. Because sure, you can go to work, you get paid, and you're happy once the money's in your account. But the next time you even think about going to work, all of that happiness is kind of robbed from you. And more time you spend that money on stuff that you need to spend money on rather than things you want to spend money on. So you don't even get the benefits of having money to spend. Like, we don't even have spending money in the same way that people did in the 70s and the 80s. Like, we don't get to enjoy the fruits of life in the same way that people before us did. Capitalism doesn't work for us in the same way that it did for the generations before us. And nobody's, like, there's been no, like, amendments to capitalism to make it work for this generation, to make it easier on this generation. But these big corporations, these big people at the top of the mountain, at the top of the triangle, they're still benefiting. Their profits are still going up. They're still getting money. So, of course, nothing's changing. Do you know what I mean? Like, of course, like, why would we expect change from people who are benefiting from stuff? Do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Next part. Broken homes house broken families, and nests fall from the heights of broken canopies, and their eggs splat with hilarious irony. They pour the life out of the youth that surround us. Even great capitalistic families collapse under the pressure of the system. Like, you look at billionaires, millionaires, these families will still get torn apart by very normal, regular things. Divorce, disagreements, stuff like that. Capitalism doesn't make you, it doesn't make you, like, unbeatable. It doesn't make you invincible. Even the richest of the rich still suffer from very, very human things. And that's what I'm trying to talk on when I say broken homes house broken families. And that's obviously pretty much everyone who isn't at the top of the mountain, right? And then nests fall from the height of broken canopies. Those are the people at the top. Like these people at the top, even though they're, you know, chilling, they got their nests, they're nice, big and plush, you know, cute. They got their eggs in there, their children, whatever. The things that they care about as these people who own these mega corporations and whatnot. Their eggs splat on the ground with hilarious irony. And I say that is ironic because it's like, oh, you did all of that. You know, you did everything you need to do. Because as we know now, guys, there's no such thing as an ethical billionaire. So, you know, you did all of the things that you did. You trampled on all of those lives. You used all those people to get to the place that you did. And you're still very much human. It's very, very ironic that those human things can happen to people who think they're so above humanity in the decisions that they make and in their quest for wealth. Do you know what I mean? Like, these people think they're better than us. But, like, look at you. If a bullet goes in your heart, you're dead. Like, you're exactly the same as me, big man. Do you know what I mean? Like, come on now. Let's actually do that properly. Let's actually be aware of what's going on, right? And then the line, they pour the life out of the youth that surround us, that just talks about the disillusionment of the youth. And I touched on this, right? Everyone knows what's ahead of them. Like, right now, I'm in my second year at uni, nearly finishing my second year at uni. By the end of next year, I'm a graduate and I'm out into the real world. And all my friends right now, we've had many discussions about this literally since we started uni, before uni. Everyone knew what was going to happen. Everyone knows what's going on. Everyone knows what's ahead of them, and it's a feature nobody wants. And so no one's in a rush to be greater capitalism. Because why would you want to be? Do you know what I mean? Like, why would you want to be? It sucks to have to work. It sucks to have to put in energy to something that isn't going to look after you in the same way that it did before, right? And that only ever makes things worse because capitalism, as I said before, relies on competition. So how can you compete when there's no one to compete against? Because the competition, quote unquote, are these mega corporations that individuals just aren't ever going to compete with. And it's not even like you can start a small company because these big companies just eat them up. A small company does well, it gets bought by a bigger one. So, you know, it's just very, like, it's just a cycle. There's not really much we can do. Like, I do notice this. I do notice the futility of this poem in terms of, like, it points everything out that's wrong. It doesn't really offer any solutions, but I'm sorry, guys, I did not say I was the saving grace of humanity. Do you know what I mean? I'm just here to point out our flaws and to create beautiful poetry while doing it, right? Next part of the poem. Like fog, scared and scarred souls surround us. It hugs, it cradles to maintain control. It hugs and cradles to expose our woes. It hugs and cradles to prevent a fall. It hugs and cradles to enslave us all. Beside on a drug that knows no end, a vision of evil loops over again, a vision that will not stop or end, withdraw to have peace, stolen again, stolen by visions of lines of men, stolen from life in disguise, it hugs and cradles, feeds you with lies, where liberated agony manifests the cavity, a flamed of flesh and bashed in bone, where pellets of poison punch and roam, through pipes that feed our blood to bone, to hug and cradle, to punch, then roam. Now, in this, that was a bit long. It was longer, a lot of semicolons in that. Pacing kind of slows down to really, you know, get into the emphasis. A lot of commas, specifically in the line, men, comma, stolen, comma, from life in disguise, comma, it hugs and cradles, comma, feeds you with lies, right? Before it goes into the agony and bashing bone, the very visual grotesqueness of capitalism, right? And that line, men stolen from life in disguise, speaks on the fact that people will spend their lives working in hopes of eventually receiving a pension and being able to enjoy their life, you know, once they're 60, 70 years old, when they've worked their whole lives, right? But a lot of people die before they're even eligible to receive their pension. So not only does the state profit from their work, the hours that they put in when they're alive, in their youth, in their adulthood, the hours they spent at work and not having to pay out a pension because they've died before they can receive it, right? They capitalize on the hours that people have spent away from their family and friends and things that they actually want to spend time on, their passions, their joys. They capitalize from all of that. Capitalism thrives when humanity isn't happy, and it steals from humanity. It literally does. Like, that's literally theft. It's theft of time. It's theft of money. It's theft of joy. Like I don't understand defenders of capitalism. Like, I genuinely do not. It genuinely baffles me. How can you believe in a system that does this? Anyway, as I said, very visual descriptions of violence and, you know, pain and anguish and flamed off flesh and bashed in bone. Very plosive words, pellets of poison, punch and rhyme, right? Just because I think, one, obviously it helps with the rhythm. It makes it stand out. It's hard hitting because obviously, you know, you might not get all of this stuff that I'm talking about now when you first read the poem, but you get the feeling of it, right? You get the heaviness that you get when you talk about capitalism because of these plosives, because of these visual images. I think they do a good job of representing what I need, like what I wanted to talk about. Right, and then next part of the poem, inflictions of pain wrap around the dome, spike down the spine and straight to the thighs with a tooth comb, paralysis, brush just fine, it hugs, it cradles, inflicts pain at the neck, wailing birds waiting on something to peck, and again withdraw but to a loss of vision, colours fade and spark a central collision, it hugs, it cradles your every decision, tight on the throat, distortional vision, through haze it floats, escape is waiting, run for your life, the fog is gaining, it crawls through our ears and worms its way, from canal to brain, it hugs, it cradles, permeable membrane, it hugs, it cradles, wrapping round veins, it hugs, it cradles, whilst we fall like dominoes and it rips up through the nose, it hugs, it cradles, splits over the eyes, cruelly curves its way around our sides into things you can't even personify, it hugs, it cradles all the things I despise about life, but still it surrounds us like fog, hidden in the haze you can never wave off, it's a surprise, some of us can see it all, it's no wonder it will see us fall. And that's the conclusion of the poem, right? And that just talks a bit like, it's just suffocating. There's no way to escape it. It's gonna get inside you, and it is inside you already. It's inside all of us. Like, we work, we gain money. We, even if you don't work, you feed into the system with the money that you get from, I don't know, who knows where, right? But when you go to the shop and you buy something, you are contributing to capitalism. So it's literally impossible to run out of unless you're completely self-sufficient. And in this world, you can't afford to be self-sufficient because you will get left behind. You have to be reliant on capitalism to succeed. Like, that is the only way it works. In the Western world, at least, let me specify on that. You know, eventually we will give in to capitalism to survive. It's all encompassing and it's suffocating and it's soul destroying. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And it, as I said, it steals from nature. It steals from earth and its materials that it steals, the carers for the earth that it steals. Like, people would rather be botanists and farmers, but now they have to, you know, because it doesn't pay well, they now need to go and work a tech job that really and truly doesn't actually, like, that tech job isn't actually really needed. Like, do you know what I mean? No one's lives are going to be, you know, drastically improved by that one person working as a fucking, I don't know, tech assistant. I don't even know if that's a job role, but you get what I'm trying to say. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are taken away from the pastoral jobs that they would want to do, and that they should do, the job that humanity should do of taking care of the earth and whatnot. Capitalism not only steals from nature, it ruins nature. We know that from fossil fuels, greenhouse gases and whatnot, its effects on the climate and everything. Like, it thrives off of the hope that it brings. As I said before, everyone works their asses off in hopes of eventually reaping its rewards, but it's a surprise some of us can see it all, as I said, because it's so all-encompassing. It just gets everything. Like, you know, nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to have a future where they're struggling to make ends meet. So, you know, that all of those anxieties that you have, which are anxieties placed in you by capitalism. If capitalism didn't exist, you wouldn't have these anxieties. And as I said, guys, it's just cyclical. It goes round and round. Honestly, it really frustrates me, which is why I knew this podcast was going to be the longest one I've had. Of the Clear Mind era. I knew it, and it's frustrating, and I've written this poem, and again, now I typed up some notes so I knew what I wanted to talk about. Like, obviously I had loads of things to talk about, but I wrote up some notes so that I, you know, had almost like a plan, not a script obviously, but just literally bullet points, right? But I'm looking at these bullet points now, I'm like, that could be an essay. That could be an essay on capitalism. And as I said in the last episode, if you guys want me to write essays, I will write essays. Like, just give me a shout. And some of you guys did, to be fair. Not enough, though. So if you want essays, let me know. Let me know for real. But that's my poem, Hugs and Cradles. When I posted it today on Instagram, I posted it to Schoolboy Q's song, Blue Slides. Blue Slides doesn't necessarily talk about capitalism, but it does talk about, you know, let me even get the lyrics up quickly. Don't mind the clickety-clack of the keyboard in the background. But, like, it is very, very important to me, at least, that Schoolboy Q gets his flowers for this album because I thought it was incredible. My album of the year so far. And the song Blue Slides, the reason why I chose that for this is because its level of introspection is something that I don't think many songs now do. Like, Schoolboy Q talks about a lot of the stuff that a lot of artists do nowadays in terms of like just kind of having an album, and it's, you know, really six songs, but like four of the songs have a slowed version, four of the songs have a reverb version, four of the songs have a sped up version. So now it's like a 20 song long album, but it's like six songs that are all the same, it's just different versions. It's just crazy. But yeah, specifically back to Blue Slides, I got the lyrics up now. In the first verse of the song, Quincy says, better climb out of that hole before you fuck up your blessings, before you realise that it's over with and start to get desperate. Keep your mind, body on pressure, give your time when it's needed. No man gonna be a man if he don't work, he ain't eating, right? And he talks about this, like further down in the song as well. He says, I've been hustling day in, day out, belong to the streets, but sometimes you gotta be a deadbeat when the kids gotta eat. And it's like, that talks about the very human result of capitalism and the feelings. Obviously, Schoolboy Q didn't produce music for like 5 years. His last album, Crash Talk, was 2019. And it's just like, it's just like, you can see it. As I said before, like, these people are successful. Schoolboy Q is successful. And he reminds us of that in Thank God For Me on that album. Blue Lips is an incredible album, guys. If you haven't listened to it already, like, I actually cannot implore you to listen to that album more. Like, I promise you will not be disappointed. From production to vocal performance to lyricism, everything is there. But, you know, let me get back to what I was saying. Like, this is such a human portrayal and depiction of what I'm talking about. This is the real life individual effects of that, this song. So that's why I wanted to, you know, like, particularly put a light onto that song specifically. And obviously it's got references to Mac Miller and talks about his depression. And obviously Schoolboy Q and Mac Miller were friends. So there's all of that stuff in there as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful track, beautiful, beautiful project. I love it with my whole heart. As I said, it's my album of the year so far. And I'll take something special to be here because I love Schoolboy Q. And I've waited 5 years for this album. I'm not even gonna lie, it caught me off guard because I didn't even see the singles when he was posting them because I didn't follow him on Instagram. But I followed him on my old Instagram, but I hadn't followed him on this new Instagram because he hadn't dropped in 5 years. It didn't really mean anything to me, do you know what I mean? But shout out to Schoolboy Q for a brilliant album. Shout out me for an amazing poem. TikTok likes it, which is good. TikTok loves it, and the website is doing really well, guys, and that would not be possible without your support. So thank you. Thank you, everybody who keeps supporting me, man. You know, eventually people keep asking me, what was the purpose of the rebrand? Why did you rebrand? Like, I want to have an audience that is connected with me through my website, my podcast, further down the line, potentially, maybe musically as well. Just watch that space. Watch that space. Don't hold me on that, but just watch that space. Maybe, potentially. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I just want people to be connected with me on all of these different levels and have an audience that just identifies with me. People who, you know, see themselves in my writing. People who appreciate the beauty of my writing, even if they can't, you know, personally, you know, like, feel anything that's, like, specific to their story. I just want people who appreciate our artistic, creative people. And I think by displaying my work in these type of ways, having the website where all my work is, where you can see my podcast, where all my socials are connected, everything like that kind of becomes a hub for me, rather than having like, oh, you know, this is me on Snapchat, this is me on TikTok, this is me on, do you know what I mean? Kind of creates a one, like, family type of thing. And that's what I want. That is what I want. But yeah, as I said, guys, sorry, I'm on Genius right now. I've just seen Noah Kahan. My sister loves Noah Kahan. I did not know he looked like that. He looks like Lin-Manuel Miranda, but anglicized. That's crazy. Right. Anyway, as I was saying, guys, thank you for listening. Tell a friend if you haven't already. Share the podcast, share my writing, share my TikToks, like my TikToks, repost my TikToks, everything. Just support me. Thank you. Okay, until next week, until the next post on the website, until the next podcast upload. Guys, look after yourselves. Don't die. Don't commit suicide. And peace.